Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. And then for our text, we will particularly zero in on the verses 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. The word of the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then our text starting at 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That will be then the end of the text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. I mentioned the text already. It's a passage I selected partly because next week I hope to preach in the evening on a question in the Heidelberg Catechism that deals with another facet of the Christian warfare. And here it's spelled out in a very unique way. And I'd like to preach on it by way of the theme, How to be Soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we'll consider the two thoughts by putting on the armor of God, and secondly, by using the armor of God. Beloved congregation, a soldier in the army of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we could picture the life of the saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus, in Ephesus. You will know that the Bible makes use of a number of pictures for the believers and the faithful in Christ Jesus. The church is often compared to the bride, the Lamb's wife. For instance, in Revelation 21, verse 9, the believers in Christ are also called the servants of Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 6, for instance. Galatians 1, verse 10. The believers are called elsewhere the beloved of God. Romans 1, verse 7. In our text, soldiers of Christ. A reference to warfare. Why warfare? Because Christians are militant sort of folk? No, but because there is an enemy who is out to destroy them. The enemy is the devil. And it is for that that the Lord supplies a whole armor for his people against the devil. That's of great significance, particularly after the celebration of the Lord's Supper, congregation. For if we were privileged to sit at the table of the Lord this morning on good grounds, then it may well be that Satan will come to assault us. This week he wants to take from us any blessing that you had this morning. Observed it in my ministry quite often in the week, sometimes for weeks after the Lord's Supper. And some thought that I was strange. That's not so strange, congregation. And if you partook of the table of the Lord not on good grounds, then you may find that Satan will leave you alone. Or if he will not leave you alone, he will encourage you and say, you did the right thing. I wanted you to do that. Well, with a view to that, congregation, the Lord comes to us this evening with his word in order to equip his people who celebrated the supper on good grounds, and to rebuke the others. Wherefore, Paul writes in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why would he call it the armor of God? The armor of God. You could say because he furnished it. He made it. You could also say that if you read the Old Testament, at times God is pictured as a warrior himself, the Lord of hosts. Think of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. Or you can think in terms of Isaiah chapter 11, a very familiar chapter, where the Lord pictures himself as the divine warrior who is mighty in battle. And I quote from the verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You could say that the armor that is God's, he shares with his people. And he does that through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christology we hope to point out as well in the course of the sermon, beloved congregation. Here Paul says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, he writes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, and then notice, in high places. Or as some contemporary translations bring out, in the heavenly realms. Because the battle ultimately, congregation, that is meant here is fought in the heavenly realms. That is, the realm into which those who were born again from death, made alive through the Word and Spirit, and brought into union with Christ. They are also brought into this conflict zone, if you wish. And you'll find it throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament as well. It starts in Genesis 3, verse 15, that we looked at some time ago. And from there on, it's the ongoing war between the Lord and the serpent, who in the New Testament has grown out to be that great red dragon in the last Bible book, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And it's like this, congregation, when a person is made a citizen in the kingdom of God, he is enlisted in the Lord's army. And that's why the Apostle Peter, for instance, he writes this warning note when he says, be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And his plan, congregation, is to sift us, to sift the believers like wheat, or to devour us. And we know that he is also capable of transforming himself into an angel of light. How can we overcome him or withstand him, congregation? In the book of Revelation chapter 12, where we read about that great red dragon, we read these words, congregation, in verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The devil. He is called in the Bible also Apollyon. Revelation 9, verse 11. As his name, so is his nature. He's the destroyer, Apollyon. He seeks to destroy congregation. He hates God. He hates everybody who loves God and who loves his Christ. I realize that in today's world there are many folk who don't believe that there is such a creature as the devil. But the Bible speaks about the devil, congregation, and because God's people surely encounter the devil. They must put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to stand up to Him. And you must learn that. I must learn that. And we must learn it afresh through the instruction of the Lord on this Lord's Day after He gave us the privilege of the Lord's Supper this morning, congregation. Paul writes, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." The whole. The Greek has a very intriguing word for, that's one word, the whole armor. And it actually refers to the complete armor, maybe even better, the full armor of a heavy armed soldier. And this one made and furnished by God. So the soldiers of Jesus Christ should not think that this warfare is a piece of cake. It's heavy fighting. And they need the armor that the Lord provides. Let's look at each of the pieces for a moment. First of all, having your loins girt about with truth. Girt about. That's the picture of actually the girdle, the belt. Usually the soldier in the days of Paul wore a belt or a leather belt that held up actually his undergarments and his tunic together. And it enabled him to march unimpeded. As he buckled on the belt, as it were, he prepared himself for action. That's the first piece. Having your loins girt about with truth. Commentators, generally speaking, think then in terms of the truth of the revelation of God in Christ in Scripture. And how true it is, congregation, that the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, can dispel the lies of the devil and set us free. And you may know that Paul in this letter to the Ephesians already several times has referred to the importance of truth. In chapter 4, verse 21, in chapter 5, I believe in the 6th verse, and in the 9th verse. This girdle could also be a special girdle or a special belt or sash designating a high official in the army, an officer. When you read Isaiah, for example, in chapter 11, then he refers to the Lord as the divine warrior wearing a belt of righteousness and truth. If that's the case, then it's truth in the sense of truth in the inward parts. Integrity, if you like, that is produced in the life of God's people by the word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because God works truth in the inner man, congregation. Without that truth, we are open to blackmail of Satan. If we are deceitful, if we lapse into hypocrisy, well, then the devil surely will beat us because he's a master at that. So what is it? The girdle of truth. Gurnall, in his large commentary, he writes, and I quote, "Some by truth mean a truth of doctrine. Others will have a truth of heart sincerity. They, I think, best that comprise both. One will not do without the other." Well, that's the first piece of armor, congregation. Having your loins girt about with truth. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. Our boys and girls will know that police officers, when they're on duty, they always have. Remember, this is not a breastplate of righteousness, but they carry something under their jacket. And if there is a gun that shoots at them, at their heart, protects them. That's actually the picture. It covered the soldier's vital organs, particularly his lungs and his heart, and protected him from being fatally wounded in that area. And Paul applies that to righteousness, congregation. It's a little difficult to know what he means by righteousness, whether that's the righteousness which is Christ's, or whether it's the righteousness which is then also worked in the life of his people. Probably, as in the case of the girdle of truth, those two aspects belong together, congregation. The whole righteousness of Christ guards us against the accusations of Satan. And I hope to come back to all those points in my second point, congregation. But first, just a brief list of those pieces of the armor. The girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then the soldier's boots. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul may have had in mind that the Roman soldier's boot, which was actually a half boot, made of leather, left the toes free, had heavy studs under the soles, tied to the ankles and the shins, with more or less ornamental straps. And these equipped him for long marches and for a solid stance. They did not impede mobility, and they prevented his feet from sliding. And that's how the Apostle Paul applies it to the Christian soldiers' congregation when he says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is, Christians need a sure foothold. And Paul's language implies that the soldier's foothold or footwear must be a help for the service of the gospel and not a hindrance. He must be able to keep his feet. He must be able to move quickly. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We'll look at that a little bit later again. Let's go to the fourth piece of equipment. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. That was a shield as big as a door, congregation, as it were. Covered with leather. And if showers of arrows dipped in pitch and then put on fire were fired towards the soldier, then he would hold up that big shield. And they would go as soldiers, neck to neck, as it were. Door to door, as it were. And protecting one another, their lives. And what were then those arrows or those flaming darts of the evil one? Well, no doubt, congregation, his mischievous accusations which come into your conscience. And if you know what it is to take refuge with Christ, then he comes with his accusations, and then what you end up with is something like what we often call false guilt, or other doubts come into your minds. They're there all of a sudden, and it may be fear. It may even be malice then, and lust and rebellion. But here is this shield of faith, whereby we shall be able to quench, extinguish such fire-dipped darts. The shield of faith. Next, the soldier's helmet. That's an important item too. A helmet. The helmet of salvation, Paul writes in verse 17, to protect against head wounds, which again could be so easily fatal. Maybe what Paul is thinking of here is the importance of our head, congregation, our mind in the life of a Christian. And we'll pick that up again in our second point, but just think of it already for a moment. And then the last piece of the armor, the sword, which is, commentators say, the only piece to attack. The others are mainly for defense. But here is a piece listed to attack Karingesh. We must not only protect ourselves against the enemy, we must also overcome the enemy. And what is envisioned here is actually a short sword. That's the word here. And it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the inspired word of God, the scriptures. And we know that the Holy Spirit uses that to work in the heart of a sinner to begin with, congregation, to prick his conscience. But when a person becomes a Christian, he puts that sword into our hands to be able to resist the tempter when he comes to us. And every Christian needs to apply that sword, that cutting power. Sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4, verse 12. And we should never be ashamed to use that little sword, congregation, as it were. It's very sharp. And acknowledge our confidence in the Bible as the sword of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say that this is the only piece of equipment that is for attack, why are the other pieces for defense, congregation? Why is there only one for attack? That's because the battle, the decisive battle, has been fought and won. Where? On Golgotha. By whom? By Christ. In the resurrection from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. And on the cross, he had conquered the devil, congregation, and sin. Isn't that the gospel? And if you go back to Isaiah chapter 11, and maybe you'll read that tonight, and you go back to Isaiah 59, where you see God as the warrior, those words are fulfilled ultimately in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout his life, our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, for instance, the temptation in the wilderness. There he used the armor of God. And he used it to the limit. He was tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. And why had Jesus come into the world? Do you remember? To destroy the works of the devil. You can also say to save us from our sins, but also to destroy the works of the devil. And when you see Christ in Matthew's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, in Luke's Gospel, in John's Gospel, and the epistles speaking about him, what do you see then, congregation? Then you see Jesus, as it were, engaging in hand-to-hand fighting with that force of strategy of the devil, first in person during the temptation, and then he left them for a while, and then he came by way of the Pharisees and the scribes and Caiaphas. And Christ delivered, congregation, the death blow to the power of darkness. And yet, the devil is not finally destroyed yet. When a person is born again from above, he's spiritually raised from death to spiritual life by Christ, congregation. Then Christ becomes his king. And then you are no longer, as you were by nature, a follower of Satan. Or a prisoner of Satan. When a person is born from above and brought to faith, congregation, and he moves to the side of the Lord. And he becomes the opposition to Satan. Under our Lord Jesus Christ. But you become the object of the destructive power of the devil, congregation. He tries to get at you and me all the time. And that's evidence of a spiritual resurrection, congregation. A regeneration that you come to fight in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. But then you've got to keep your feet. your feet on the ground. Then you have to have that sword in your hand, and you have to have the whole armor of God. Congregation, when a person is brought to faith, and he's a young Christian, then he often thinks that that Christian warfare, I'm able to do it. I got that armor, and it's going well. And the longer you are a Christian, the longer you fight as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, congregation, the more you get to realize that you can only stand in that battle as a result of the supernatural grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ by His Word and Spirit. And you find that reiterated in this whole portion of God's Word, congregation. But that's why God's people are exhorted to put on the whole armor of God. Christians are to wage war against the devil. And it is in that way that they are preserved in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it works, congregation. If we think back to the Lord's Supper this morning, I already hinted at that. And the privilege of the Lord's Supper that you and I, or several of us, were privileged to eat that bread and drink that wine as signs and seals of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, His offering, His sacrifice to God. And that we were privileged to partake of that work of our Lord Jesus Christ that He had done His whole life long, but especially on Calvary's cross. And that He gives us to partake of that by working in our hearts. And if that's the case, congregation, then you find that the devil tries to take it away from you. Tries to take it away from you. You'll find this week the devil doing his utmost to just take from you what you received today. Some of you will find that he is just trying to trip you up, so that you fall into sin. And some others will find he does something else to just pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever device he will use, he wants to pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil will be so happy, congregation, if sometimes somebody this week in this congregation will say, I was at the table of the Lord. And I thought I belonged there, but I that was a mistake on my part. I actually don't even believe anymore. The grace of God. The devil will be so happy, congregation. And that's why this evening the Lord Jesus warned you, just as he warned Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Put on your whole... That's not what he says. But he said, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Well, that's a brief look at the whole armor, congregation, that the Lord has forged and he furnishes his people with. Let's move to our second thought. He also teaches us not only to put it on, but to use it. To use it. Because we are not to have, like a soldier, his uniform and all his army equipment with him. Got to use it. Got to use it. Having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is the opposite of lying. And the devil is a liar from the beginning, congregation. And the father of the lie. I have no time to preach on it in detail tonight. It's worth someday to go back to a whole series on this armor, congregation. But I have a book in my study which is written by a pediatrician on lying. And once you read it, then you realize that we all do it. I lie. You lie. He lies. She lies. We lie. They lie. No, we are not liars. But when we need to, having your loins girded about with truth. That's the opposite of lying. But you'll notice that the devil comes to you and he teaches you to lie. And he comes with various devices. He'll say to you, how silly of you to serve the Lord God. Young people, don't serve the Lord in your young years. They are the best years in your life. Enjoy those on your own. And to believe his lie and to think, yeah, it's a shame to throw away these years for the Lord. Let me And you must learn to say, devil, go away with your lie and your deceit. I will not give you entry into my heart. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. May I ask you that, especially you brothers and sisters, and I ask myself who this morning partook of the table of the Lord. Have you fastened on the girdle of truth? And do you, from out of that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know how to speak the truth and to be of the truth and to rebuke the devil and to say, devil, go away, because you are a liar and you've been so from the beginning. But I know I have a living Savior in heaven who gave his life for me in love. And I may live through him, and my shortcomings are covered by his precious blood. You see, that's fastening the girdle of truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, especially in the epistles of Paul, congregation, is a reference to justification. God's gracious work in putting sinners right with God through Christ. Is that the breastplate for a Christian? There is no greater privilege and protection than a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, congregation, to have been justified by his grace in the way of a childlike faith in Christ crucified, and to be clothed with his righteousness, and to stand before God not as condemned but as accepted in the beloved. And when the devil comes with his attacks and he accuses your conscience, his name is Satan on the one hand, that means adversary. And his name is devil, diabolos, that's the Greek word, that means slanderer. And the breastplate of righteousness is Romans 8, verse 1. That you speak with your heart, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, yea, rather who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's the Christian's assurance, congregation, of righteousness, of that right relationship with God through Christ. And it is by faith, as an instrument, that you partake of that righteousness. And here is the breastplate to protect you against those satanic accusations. So that's one of the meanings of righteousness, congregation. But you know that the Apostle Paul also uses the word righteousness in a somewhat different sense. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 7, he speaks about the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. And then he refers to what we sometimes call moral righteousness. And he uses those words in Ephesians 4, verse 24, if you would check that in, and in Ephesians 5, verse 9, so that that breastplate of righteousness may be also then the righteousness that becomes part of your character and of your conduct. Just as when we had the girdle of truth a moment ago, with that double meaning congregation, to overthrow the deceits of the devil. So here, to cultivate the righteousness in and through Christ, by faith, that's the way to resist the temptation of the devil. We read it time and again in the scriptures when Paul, for example, says, walk worthy of the gospel. Walk worthy of the Lord. Not in the sense that our walking is then to merit any salvation congregation. No, we must receive everything from the Lord in that regard. From His active obedience and His passive obedience. But it is as our form for baptism already said when we were baptized, then there was a prayer for us congregation that we might learn by the grace of God, that we might be brought to that new life in which we would learn to live under our only King, Teacher and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, remember? So when the devil comes to you, young people, with all the sins and the temptations, and you know it's wrong, but you find in your body a desire for the sins, and the devil comes and he says, go for it. Have some fun in life. But you know there are the things that God forbids. What do you need then? You need the Savior for your sins. And you need Him as your Lord. And here you need the breastplate of righteousness, whereby you see clearly the things that He is urging you to do. And there is something in your body that actually desires those too. But no, you see through it, they are sinful, displeasing to the Lord. And yet, then you discern, as it were, through this breastplate, if I may put it that way, that what the devil is doing is pulling you away from the Lord. And so you hold up, as it were, you make sure you have that breastplate of righteousness. One thing that we should not forget, congregation, is that just before Paul writes about putting on the whole armor of God, what does he write about? Chapter 5, marriage. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Servants, slaves, obey your masters. And it's right after that that the Apostle Paul says, wherefore put on the whole armor of God. Because it is in our marriage, and it's in our families, and it is at work. The ordinary daily routines of life, congregation, where the devil comes to attack us. That's right. It's in the ordinary things of life, where God calls His people to live in all holiness under our High Priest, King Jesus Christ, that we need to make sure that the devil has no foothold in our life. Because that's where he appears, congregation. In our marriage. That's how he did it, as it were, in Adam and Eve's life. That's how he started. And today he still does it in marriage and parent-children relationship. And at work. Isn't that true? You celebrate the Lord's Supper, and tomorrow, you don't know how it came, all of a sudden you're so snappy to your husband or to your wife. And you leave for work. what you just did does not only impede the happiness of your marriage, but is a hindrance in that right relationship to God and His Christ. And the way to bounce off the eros, congregation, is to bounce them off on the breastplate of righteousness. And that is to look to the Lord and to confess and to turn your car around the corner and going home and saying to your wife or to your husband, "I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I should not have talked to you that way. I must love you. I must honor you. I must deny myself in our marriage." That's part of it, congregation. And maybe the children are present when it happens. And there you need to apologize also to your children. And then your children see something of the breastplate of righteousness. Maybe they don't understand it. And it can be the relationship between parents and their children, the way they communicate with each other. Parents sometimes get irritated and fly off the handle. "Look, who is the boss around here?" And then the one runs out of the house. And from the one thing comes the next thing. Back, the breastplate of righteousness. And confess to him and to one another, "I have sinned." And as children to parents. And as parents to children. Do you wear the breastplate of righteousness? A life in the fear of the Lord. A life in which the Lord Jesus Christ directs your life. Today we celebrated the supper of the Lord. Perhaps you too, as I was, were at his table. And we received bread and wine as a sign and a seal of the love of God in Christ, of his offering and of his sacrifice. Do you now, by the grace of God, also wear the breastplate of righteousness? Is there in your life the desire to walk worthy of the Lord and not to fall into sin? It may be that somebody thinks, "Pastor, but what do you expect now from us this week?" Congregation, in a sense, I don't expect a whole lot from you. But the Lord expects that from you. This is a service of post-communion, a service of thanksgiving. And he pictures to us the whole armor for warfare. Here, the breastplate of righteousness. And he says, "The devil will come and he'll try to pull you away from me." You need the breastplate of righteousness on. And this is how you must use it. And then the boots, congregation, of the soldier. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What a remarkable piece of equipment of the armor. You know how you must resist the devil in this regard? By confessing the gospel of peace, which is in Christ Jesus, by not being embarrassed to point also others to the Lord Jesus Christ. The boots of the soldier, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, is that you don't cut and run and desert as a soldier of Jesus Christ, but that you acknowledge, "I know my Savior. And I know I need him. And I know what I have in him. He redeemed me. He shed his blood for me. Shall I not live for him?" And to bring it also to others, congregation, always to be ready in season and out of season to pass on the message of the gospel of peace. And the more you are grounded in that gospel of peace, the more ready you will be to communicate it to others. And if the devil fears anything, congregation, and hates anything, it's the gospel of peace, which is in Christ Jesus. He knows that's a power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth. And maybe you know of it in your life, that that gospel was so powerful in your life that the Lord rescued you from the tyranny of the devil. And now carry it to others. Keep your gospel boots, as it were, strapped on, my brother and sister. Do you wear the boots of a soldier of Jesus Christ? Tomorrow at work. But at work, somebody says something about the Bible, about Jesus, that you go to him. And that you say, why did you talk about the Lord Jesus now in that way? Now, don't be super religious. You say, can we talk about it? And you know how unhappy that person is in his life, how wretched and dissatisfied. And that you say to him that there is a Savior in heaven. And he came to me. I came to know him. He came to save me from my sins by his blood and to give me a new life. He's there for you too. At your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, congregation. Don't ignore the people you work with, and don't ignore your wife or your husband or your children or your brothers and sisters. Your feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then fourthly, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the Apostle Paul puts his finger on a very sinister and often profoundly distressing experience in the life of God's people, congregation. What is it? You know that God's people sometimes have a sudden, unexpected attack on their minds, on their thoughts, or in their affections. And they are weakened. And it gives them shame, sometimes terror, paralysis, spiritually speaking. You read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and you read about these things, congregation. You read Spurgeon and you read about these things. They describe that they too experienced an onslaught of unworthy, sometimes even blasphemous thoughts coming to them, unbidden. And they trembled. And sometimes it's a sin from the past, and it's brought back to you. It seems just thrown at you as a match on dry tinder. And panic overwhelms you. Guilt. The believer. And what do you sense? I'm losing my footing. You doubt your salvation. You're overtaken by doubt. And the doubt obscures the love of the Savior. What is the believer to do, kind? Raise the shield of faith. Refuse those insidious lies that have burst into your mind. And trust in Christ. Insist on the gospel. Nothing but Christ saves me. And what Christ has done outside of me, for me, that's my salvation. And that you trust in him. Christ and Christ alone. And if you think of it this morning, I said that especially in the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks about us and you in the plural. Let's remember that we are soldiers next to each other, congregation. Sometimes you can go to a fellow believer and you say, this is what's been happening to me lately. I'm so down. Will you pray for me? Could you hold the shield of faith over me? And pray also for it yourself. Lord, reassure me of the power of thy gospel. And help me to use this shield of faith so that I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that thou art able to keep that which thou hast committed unto me against that day. Forsake not the work of thy hands. That's the shield of faith, congregation. That is the faith that lives, the faith that experiences that God gives sometimes even his naked word to lean on. Other refuge I find none but his word. And then the soldier's helmet. I need to move on, congregation. The helmet of salvation. Somebody said that's the ABC of God's salvation. The grace by which you were saved, that it proceeded from God, and that it is forevermore, as you saw today at the table of the Lord. And you need to focus. You need to focus. Learn to focus on specific truths of the gospel that will sustain you in times of intense spiritual pressure. As we see in the Bible in Simon Peter, congregation. When he has denied the Lord and overcome what he has done, he goes out and he wept bitterly, remember. There was the crumbling rock. But his Savior prayed for him that his faith would not fail. Will he have known that in those moments? If so, then that was the helmet of salvation for Peter. But Satan can shoot his fiery darts at us and say, what good does salvation do to you? But with the helmet of salvation, congregation, we say it's the helmet of the salvation he accomplished and he secured. And then the last weapon, congregation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we see our Lord making use of that word, congregation. When he was tempted in the wilderness and he refused Satan's blandishments. And he did it by using God's word. And he unreservedly submitted to the word of God. And that's how you and I must do it. And then we are to, congregation, how do I say that? We are to store the word of God up in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Do you know what that is? That I might not sin against thee? Do you search the scriptures? That's the way the Lord works it. If only Adam had done that in the garden. The Lord has said, Satan, or serpent, but you and I must learn to do it out of Christ. Attack the devil with the word. The power of the word. The sword of the Spirit. And deal him your blows. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, and what God says is true and trustworthy. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole. Don't leave any part of your life exposed to the devil. You need the whole Christ, congregation. Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord, Friend, Master, Sovereign, companion, and that without reservation. A part armor will not do. A part Christ will not save. When somebody says, but what if I have already been defeated, Pastor? The fact that you recognize it. should help you. That means there is still life and hope. On your knees, with God, there is grace to start fighting again. Begin to recuperate first in the strength of Christ, and then consciously put on the whole armor of God and learn to stand and learn to keep on standing. Well, that's the sermon, congregation, on this Lord's Day evening. How to be soldiers of Jesus Christ by putting on the whole armor of God and by using the armor of God. He supplies the armor. He teaches how to use it through His Word. And this morning, through the bread and the wine, if I may use that aspect as well. Go now back into the remainder of this week and take all the armor along of God, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit that the Lord desires us to have and to use. Is that the blessing of the Lord's Supper of this morning? Or do you say, Pastor, I was at the table of the Lord, but you know something? This sermon does not touch me. Why does it not touch you? Or someone else who did not come to the Lord's table this morning. Maybe he was not even in church or not here. And you say, it's interesting, but I can't say it touches me. Why does it not touch you? Do you not know of the warfare? Is Satan giving you time of ease? Because he knows you are on his side and in his camp to begin with. I hope that there will be many congregation who, thinking back to this morning, will say this evening, Lord, thou hast graciously provided the armor. I need it. Help me to use it. Bunyan pictures it so neatly in his book, in the various books. It's always there. The battle. Always. The devil as a constant enemy. It's almost on every page. And the evangelist teaches him. And others teach him. Put on the whole armor. That's for all of this life, congregation. Till one day we leave this life and we won't need the armor anymore. There will be no more warfare. But here we need it. You can only fight in the power of the Lord by faith. The fight of faith, not for your honor, but for His honor. And say then, Lord Jesus, we need Thee. Let me live and fight in Thy power. Amen. Let's pray. We humbly thank Thee for this Thy word, O Lord. We can only bring it to the ear. And even there, perhaps, there are problems that some were not even able to catch on to what it was all about. But we ask Thee, as Thou art able, even to use just the words of Thy Holy Scripture, to grant that grace, O God, to regenerate us from death to life, to bring us to faith, then for us to put on the whole armor of thine and then use it until the end of this life by thy grace. Dismiss us now. Sustain us now. Also as congregation and in our outreach and in our life now and evermore. And forgive our sins, O God. The sin of not fighting. The sin of fighting without armor. Have mercy and make us new and true within, for thine is the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.